I'm super duper excited about this edition of The Exhibitionist. We're going to be talking about women's empowerment in the exhibition industry. And before you roll your eyes back in your head and say, oh my God, are they really going to talk about this? Yes, we are. And it's not boring. I promise. We had a chance at the UFI European Congress. I mean, conference, sorry. Sorry, UFI. To interview two very dynamic ladies. One, the first is Monica Lee Mueller.
Yeah,
and from, she's the head of the
Hong Kong Convention Exhibition Center, and then we've got Iwana Shipka from Masteries, the MACC in Masteries in the Netherlands. So, two very different places. We want to give people some good ideas on how they can go about ensuring that there's more women in the boardroom. That's what this is all about, and that's what they're pushing towards.
But we're looking at, you know, the fact that, you know, a 50-50 goal or something more representational in terms of the makeup of the industry makes sense. And so maybe through attrition, we can start raising more women into the boardroom. That's
absolutely
what we're
saying. And I mean, in the case of Monica as well, as you raised in the interview, like her key mentor was Cliff Wallace, you know, and
right.
But, you know, so there's a it's not about that at all. This is all about getting women where they should be.
Right. Right. So
anyway.
Who do we have up first?
I think we've got Iwana first, because I think she's got some. I first spoke to Iwana about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it was their inaugural Women in Exhibitions event, which is held in Maastricht. A colleague of mine I've worked with called Sarah Claire Pitton went out to the event, and it was great to see this forming. I mean, admittedly, it formed out of a time where there's a lot of negativity towards men, but it was not about that at all at the actual event, and it was a real super positive thing, and it would be good to hear from her next.
All right, so with there, here comes our interview with Iwana.
Anthony and I are sitting here with Iwana Shipka, and it used to be Chipka, but everybody spelled it wrong because it's a Romanian name, we just found out. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Women in Exhibitions movement and what's been going on here in Europe, because I think it's really interesting that the movement has been growing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it and what motivated you?
Yes. As you might know, I'm quite a newcomer in the industry. I'm working in the exhibition industry since 3 years. And my very first UFI experience in Johannesburg showed me that there should be something more for women in our exhibition. I think we are not visible enough for the industry.
And so, do you mean at the boardroom level, or
yes, I mean at the top level. I mean, we are running the industry on middle management. We are running the industry lower than middle management, but we are not running the industry together with men in the top.
And again, it's together with men.
Yes, because
not men.
No, exactly. We are not conquering the world.
I think we should.
No, but I do believe in the perfect mixture of things, because women are also our customers as well. And if we don't take them into account, then we miss a big market as well.
Absolutely.
So, that was a bit of motivation. And besides that, we thought that Women in Exhibition Network should come up, because we want to empower the women. We want to inspire them to make the next step, because it's not men that's keeping us away from the nice jobs, it's really ourselves and not daring.
So how did you introduce a framework in order to, for this mobilization to take place, how people could start finding, is it a mentoring program or?
Yes, we're working on setting up those things. We're really in our first year right now. We had a few informal meetings. We met in Verona, in Ghent, in Belgium. We had a very nice meeting in Munich last December, and this morning in Birmingham.
How many people did you have?
We had about 40 women. I was impressed, and I was energized, and I was myself inspired, seeing these beautiful ladies coming and giving it importance. You know, it shows something.
How do you combine the different regions? Do you work with associations, corresponding associations in different markets, or?
Yes, this morning we launched the idea of organizing ourselves in what we call Women in Exhibition chapters. So the very first chapter is already launched in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. So we call it Women in Exhibitions DOC. And we want to organize ourselves like regionally because we believe that we can make an impact internationally, but we should work first regionally because every country has its culture, has its different structures in companies, and if we want to approach the right topic, we need to start regionally. So the idea is to organize ourselves in worldwide chapters, so finding ambassadors to set up these chapters in Italy. And this morning, actually, it was very nice. We got three ladies who want to set up the chapter in UK.
That's so fantastic.
That is going very fast, actually, already. And we have companies like Fresh Montgomery showing it interest.
So that's fantastic. Nice. Lori from Fresh Montgomery.
Yes, for sure, Lori.
Lori Hoynes.
Yes. And so, interestingly, you did an event I heard about or I saw on LinkedIn, and it was across the pond from me, so I couldn't attend. It was didn't have any other travel at the time.
You should have thrown me a wig. I'd have gone.
I know. It was that, you had a speaker. You had a very specific speaker. I don't remember who it was, but it was it on negotiation, or I don't remember what it was about. But I remember it. I was intrigued. Sorry, everybody, my memory goes.
We had different speakers, but for example, in the masterclass March during the European Fine Art Fair, our largest show, we had a transgender, but we didn't say that it was a transgender. We had we invited him. And he would give the presentation, he would inspire women. It was a topic of bias and how we form an opinion about somebody by the first impression we have. And at the end of his presentation, he said he used to be a woman, and that was quite shocking for everybody because he couldn't see that.
That is so fantastic.
And that was really inspirational, and it like triggered us that we are so much more than you see at first stage.
So how long has it been running for, your initiative?
We started last year, March.
Okay, last year. Okay, so that's early doors, early days. Okay, so in that year, you wouldn't have seen too much happen. But what progress do you think where would you like to be in 2 years' time?
Or in a year?
Yeah.
Well, I would love to have another chapter opened in UK and to launch it maybe during one of the nice events of UFI or AEO. And why not Italy, and see the chapters in Germany growing much stronger. And I would love to have at the end, and maybe not in 2 years, but who knows, we're going quite fast. Maybe in 2 years, 3 years, maybe 5 years, have one large international event where we get all the chapters together and address the right topics.
Are you worried that momentum will fade? Because I know this all grew out of a lot of media and press coverage about 2 years ago.
The Me Too.
And the Me Too movement and so on.
We are getting to the 50-50% equality, then we can consider aspects like attracting more the younger generation into our industry and showing them the role models and showing them actually how beautiful our industry is. So there will always be a topic to talk. And besides that, we as women, we are one learning, entire life learning human beings. So. Yeah, the learning aspect will never
continue.
Stop.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Congratulations. It's not easy to start an organization, but there's a need for it. Unfortunately, within the industry, there's a need for it. Mm-hmm. But it's good to see everyone banding together and deciding to help each other up instead of tear each other down.
Yes. We're such a cosmopolitan bunch. There's all such a good mix, the exhibition industry, that I'd have thought there'd be permanent support for this as well, because we all have to work with each other. Across genders, nationalities, so it's
and ages.
Support and ages.
And ages.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Juana.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yay.
Thanks.
Well, I'd like to thank Juana for her input there. That was it was interesting. It's obviously particularly interesting to hear about the idea of setting up regional offices, because sensibilities change around the world, depending on where you are and what women can gain in one part of the world is different to what they can gain in another.
Right. Yeah, right. And I think that, you know, we also need to give a shout out during this to IMEX, who have their women in their Women Mean Business Day. They've done a lot of things towards empowering women in the meetings and exhibitions industry with both their Frankfurt and Las Vegas shows. So I just wanted to mention that because I think they do a particularly very good job of bringing in really, really high caliber people to teach how to be a leader.
Who was in the audience in Vegas? Was it mostly women or were there quite a few men in the office?
She Means Business has only been held so far in Frankfurt the last 2 years. And they had people like women astronauts and people who work in the UN and all kinds of really interesting women who have been quite successful in usually male dominated areas. You know, if you think about it, I mean, especially the UN, is a really kind of a sexist place. Sorry, folks, but it's true. You know, I've heard of people, women who were working and, you know, the counterparts from a certain part of the world where women are not held in high esteem would be ignored and treated quite rudely. So, you know, it's a cultural thing as well. But I did want to just give a shout out to our friends at IMEX because they just do a heck of a good job in trying to elevate everybody in the business.
What one is saying about the regional chapters as well is something that it does reverberate a little with my past as a journalist. When I'd go to certain parts of the world, namely the Middle East, it would be quite difficult to introduce, you know, you have to shake hands with the guys before the women in some parts of the Middle East.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, if at all with the women. And then how do you get, you know, for me to actually ask somebody who may even be, used to work in television, and to ask someone who I knew worked in scheduling, who was a woman, I still had to get that information from her by asking the guy. So in a place like that, I mean, years ago, and I think times are changing, but very difficult. I can totally understand why it's very difficult for women to make their voices heard if they have to speak through a guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really appreciate
her. I would not be that person, that's for sure. All right, so coming up, because we want to just kind of move on here, is Monica. And she is one of the few women in the business who is C-level and running a world-renowned venue. It is one of the most spectacular convention and trade centers on the planet, I think. And
it is,
iconic. That's the word I was looking for.
It is. Smashed to pieces in Transformers and other films.
Yeah. So sorry about that, Monica. But we want to just go ahead and apologize. It was a little noisy. We were on a break, and so if it's a little noisy with the background noise, sorry, folks. Just turn it up a little.
The building's not collapsing around us.
It's not. All right. One of your passions, and we've been pretty vocal about, is women in exhibitions.
Oh.
And you just came from a breakfast with about 30 colleagues, correct?
Yeah.
And when we were in St. Petersburg for the UFI Congress last year, you know, we were all sharing a lot of things, and they've been doing some studies. UFI and other organizations have been doing studies because most of the people working in exhibitions these days are women.
Yeah.
But they're not C-level.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few C-level women in the world, quite frankly.
I feel privileged and I have many good male mentors and
Absolutely.
Colleagues, and that they encourage us to work in this industry. I feel really fortunate. And yes, I just, you know, realize when we come to events like this and meeting other female colleagues and found them, you know, if it's not smarter, equally smart and dedicated and devoted to the industry, are not having, you know, the equal opportunity to move up.
And so it's been about 2 years that I remember as a journalist writing about the Women in Exhibitions Initiative, but in that time, have you seen some gains that you hope to see, and are there gains you'd like to see?
I think we're seeing a field coming up, you know. You see in Sweden, in Gothenburg, and Karin, you know, and a few others, but it's still too few in our industry, you know, among all. I mean, in UK, they were talking about the 30% boardroom, right? I mean,
right.
We're not even close to 3%.
So,
yeah,
I think we still have a long way to go.
Who came up with the 30%? Is that, do you think that's a practical kind of number, or
I think
is that global as well, or is
no? I think it's very much UK, but a lot of countries have adopted that approach. We don't want to put a quota, but we don't want to be overly aggressive. So I think 30% is quite a reasonable task.
Over like the next couple of years, the next 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, that the sessions, you know, and women getting together, and of course men are welcome to go to these things.
Yeah.
It's not the man hating thing of the, you know, 70s or 80s or 90s. It's about how do we empower everybody?
Yeah.
And how do we empower...
Isn't it? Because some of the mentors seem to, you know, are male.
Like Cliff.
Exactly,
like Cliff Wallace for you.
I mean, all my board members are male, and my successor, my predecessor, my bosses are all male. And my greatest mentor, Cliff included, they're all male. So we're not, you know, I'm not feminist. I don't really promote that women have to be on top. I always said what we need to do is just to remove the obstacle from, you know, the women, and so that they can rise. I mean, our organization, for instance, right, in the Hong Kong Convention Exhibition Center, we have 50-50 in our management level, from department heads on.
That's fantastic.
Directors, yeah. 50-50. It's not a quota that I put, but
no,
just that they were given the opportunity to rise, and it just come up naturally.
Now, do you provide for the training? Do you do a lot of the management training within your organization? I know that you promote a lot from within, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you provide classes and mentoring and that kind of thing for some of the managers that are coming up that you identify as individuals that really have a lot of potential?
Yeah. We do have management training forums. We don't separate them, but the men
of course.
And women.
No.
All
you should.
Together.
Right.
But as you said, when you see somebody with potentials, do you want to put them on the fast track? You want to give your personal coaching or put somebody who's relevant, a mentor that's relevant to that positions and that they can trust and relate to and to encourage them. You know, some of them might have the potential, particularly for women, they would be quite self-conscious about their family situation, their family commitment.
That's something I wanted to come on to. Is like, do you think that the target's achievable in long term, ultimately, not just like in terms of quota, but actually, to me, it seems that this is an industry that takes an awful lot of your time. Like the C-level guys, and I say guys because they mostly are on a plane, they're in departure lounge, arrival gates all of the time. And in the, you know, the traditional sort of family role that the mother tends to play, it does make it very difficult for them to actually adopt that C-level.
True.
Do you think it is a case of, you know, what are we trying to achieve here? I guess we're not trying to achieve that because it would mess with the traditional family dynamic. You know, how do you actually get
but
to?
But I think the
level?
World is changing. I mean, the social perspective is changing.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have men, male directors or managers that who are equally concerned about away from home, and want to be home early. To make dinner, for instance, or for care for their children.
And some are the primary caretakers of their children.
All their parents.
Right,
in
or
Hong
their
Kong,
parents if they're older.
For Chinese.
But not to the 50-50 perspective you could imagine. So maybe
a
number like
30
is different.
And so we provide the flexibilities, like the flexi hours and things like that. And it's all up to the individuals.
Absolutely.
And it's not about men or female. It's up to the individuals, whether they are keen on traveling or you know, putting all the long hours. I'm a personal believer that we're in the industry that I'm counting on results, not hours.
Right.
You don't have to clock in and call to show me how many hours you have done to show you're committed. But I'm rather looking at results. And nowadays with the technologies these days,
so
you can communicate with your client, you communicate with your colleagues through all sorts of media, right?
So absolutely.
As a performance based model, then, so you think a performance reward scheme rather than an hourly based, you know,
absolutely.
Reward scheme is a good way to bring in this equality.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going
to
chime in and say,
absolutely.
It drives me crazy when, because as a consultant, people say, well, what do you do by the hour? And I say, I do it by the project.
Exactly.
Because the thing is this, if you want me to quantify it, well, I've been in the industry for how many years? I can call up and I can get an answer. I can send you an email. And because we've known each other for a long time, you're going to respond to me. Whereas somebody who just entered into the business, you may not be quick to respond, or you may send it to somebody else to answer whatever the question is. So where is that? How do I quantify that in terms of time? Well, it only took me 5 minutes, but it took me years of developing the relationships.
Yeah.
So again, I think the project base is such a better model, especially with trade shows.
Yeah. It's meritocratic as well, isn't it? And which is fundamentally a better model to have.
Yeah, of course, when you have a significant events that you want to be personally there and and to experience it, to understand it, of course, you know, you'll be there.
That's part of what we do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when it is called for, then you'll be there. I mean, I don't dictate when and how you should be there. But, you know, it shows your commitment, your understanding of the industry, and you should be mature enough when you get to the C-level or to the senior management level. You should have the maturity to decide when.
We're gonna call it a day because we know you've got a lot of things to do. And we certainly appreciate your time, Monica.
Thank you so much.
What a fun conversation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Love to have you in the UK. So that's it from this interview. We'll be following up with Monica in months to come, I'm sure. But for now, thank you very much, Monica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Speak again.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Monica. That was actually quite a bit of fun. We had to take some of it out because it just went so long. She's such an interesting woman to talk to. You know, one of the things she talked about was how, you know, maybe we need to look at jobs in terms of performance and not about time served in the office, per se. For example, our good friend Joe Calloway from Info Salons, now a Freeman company, was telling me that a couple of the women that worked for her wanted to have children, and so now they share jobs so that they can get their stuff done. One works 2 days a week, the other works 3 days a week. And now that they've gotten into the rhythm of it, it works really well. And everybody gets the job done, and they get to keep their jobs and have their kids.
And being flexible about that is got to be paramount, hasn't it? Because that is the point, mid-career, when women, when
spit it out there, Anthony.
Lost the power of speech. The responsibilities of women can so often just put them straight out of a career at that point, and it still is the case. Blokes can be primary caregivers, but it's you know, the percentage is very small compared with women. So anyone Absolutely. Who can facilitate that and make it easier, that's where to start, it seems.
That brings us to the end of another Exhibitionist podcast. If you liked what you heard, please pass it around and make sure you leave us a 5-star rating.
And if you need to get in touch with us, well, Google's a very easy place to do that. Just type either Steph's name, Steph Selesnik, or my name, Anthony Reeve Crook, into Google with the word trade shows, and you'll find one of us.
Thanks again for listening. Or both. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.